Even better than that, God has given us the breath in our bodies. Yes. He's given us the heart that's beating inside of us right now, moving the blood. He has given us the senses of taste, of smell, of sight. He's given us the love of one another. But more importantly than that, He's given us His love.
Yeah.
In spite of us, God loves us. Amen. Open your Bibles up, if you would, to Psalm 95 this morning. Psalm 95. I don't know what kind of week you have had this week. It could be bad. It could have been good. It could have been full of accidents. But you know what? Our God is still in control. Our God loves us. Our God is in control. So because of that, Psalm 95, verse number 1. Psalm 95, verse number 1 says this: O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. And here's a description of Him: to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. He didn't say a noise that was sometimes in good tune. He says, make a joyful noise. Now, what is a joyful noise? A joyful noise is just simply this: God, thank you. Thank you that you've given me peace. Thank you, God, that I can enjoy who you are. A joyful noise. Why should we do this? For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, little g. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Our God loves us. Our God created all of these things for us, and He did it with the thought in His mind is, I love my children. I want them to enjoy what I've done for them. This morning, God has made this day. You're not here by accident. You didn't just get out of bed and show up this morning. You're here for a reason. And that reason is this: God loves you, and He wants us to worship Him this morning. So let me give you permission, if I can, worship Him today. Worship Him. Tell Him thank you. Tell Him thank you for the things He didn't let happen to you. The things that He protected you from this week. Thank Him for the things He allowed you to endure and go through this week. Thank Him for the people He's brought into your life. Thank Him for the people He's taken out of your life, perhaps. But thank Him for His presence. Thank Him for His peace. Because our God is a great God, and He is above all other gods. Praise His wonderful name this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, choir, help me out.
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. God, it's just so good to know that You are in control. Lord, I don't know everything that everybody has gone through this week. I only know what's happened in my life. I thank you for the protection that you provided us, the good time that you gave us as a family and a time together. Lord, thank you for what you protected us from. But Lord, I pray for these precious folks that are here today. Lord, I don't know the issues of life that they're dealing with, but you do. Nothing escapes you. Nothing is out of your presence, out of your strength, out of your sight. Lord, there's hurting hearts here this morning. I'm praying, God, that you would bring them peace and comfort and direction. That, Lord, you would intercede in whatever is said and done as we worship you, that you would bring that peace and direction in their lives. Lord, for those who are struggling, help them today. May we be instruments, perhaps, in that struggle to help them along the way. Let us not let the little things of life destroy us from worshiping you today. You are worthy. And I thank you, God, for that. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you for what you're going to do in the future. We love you and we praise you. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, before Scott comes, does anybody have a praise this morning? Something they want to share about what God has done or God is doing? Brother Tim?
I just want to praise God for my brand new grandson. On Friday at 3:44 p.m. in the afternoon, he weighed 4 pounds, 13 ounces, and he's from the South.
Oh,
his name is Wiley Boone Slater. Proud of him. We were talking this morning. The doctors gave us all kind of bad things that's going to happen. He was going to have lung trouble. When he come out of the womb, he was breathing. Hey. On his own. Hadn't been on a respirator yet.
My God.
Yes, he's more. The doctors tell us this, but I like this song, and I'm going to sing a little bit of it anyway. They don't know the God I serve already knows the answer. They don't know that he does miracles and holds us in his hand.
Yeah.
Yes.
What my God don't give us to praise him for. Like Danny. Oh. From what I understand, he was right at death. But my God brought him back. He didn't have to depend on doctors, but they're good to have around. But my God brought him back. My God brought this grandchild. It don't matter how old you are. I think Danny's about my age. He may be a But my God, no matter what place in life you're at now, and I've been in several of them myself, my God brought me out. He always gives me a reason to praise his miraculous name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God, praise the Lord. And the biggest miracle that you'll ever know is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your heart and changes your life.
Amen.
There's nothing like it.
Amen.
Praise and change forever.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Tim. Amen. Somebody else want to praise the Lord? Somebody, Brother Tim or Brother Danny?
It's not me.
Amen. Yeah.
It's all awesome.
Yeah.
Y'all went into my closet. I'm picking out a shirt. And I see this maroon one. That's most of the blood.
Yeah.
The blood. And I feel like I got a new heart within me. I want to be a love heart.
Yes.
And passionate heart.
Yeah.
Tell everybody. You know, you don't know Christ. Or you missed it.
Yeah.
I lean on him. Love me. And he'll take care of you. I guarantee it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Thank you.
Let me ask what I pray the Lord's for. Miss Patty, hold on just a second, Miss Birchfield. Miss Birchfield, just a sec. Just 1 second, Miss Patty, and then I get to you, okay? Miss Patty?
There's some people in here today that might find this praise odd. I've spent my life, you know, God has been there, and in some paths I knew about, and He's taken me on some uncharted courses also. But throughout all of that, Romans 8:28 is my verse. God uses all things to work together for good for those who believe in Him and fall for His books. But about 16 months ago, something happened in my life that brought me to the core. And I couldn't see that. And I was angry with God. I've never felt angry toward God before. But I was angry. I spent the better part of the past 16 months being angry with God. But I am glad to say that what God has done in my life is just sat back and be big enough and strong enough and caring enough and loving enough to deal with me.
Amen. Amen.
He is a wonderful God. And I thank Him today. My praise today is not giving up on me. Mm-hmm. Understanding my anger and helping me work my way through it. I'm very blessed. I've come to the conclusion that while yes, I do have all things work together for good, as Romans 8:28 says, but I do believe now that in this life, we still may not see that good. Mm-hmm. But if we trust in God, we know that it's there. So I just want to thank everyone that has been praying for me. I want to thank my family, my precious husband. But my praise today is I'm thankful that we have a God that will allow us to be angry.
Amen. Amen, Ms. Patty. He never gives up on us. I praise God for that. Amen. Ms. Birchfield.
Just a matter of a few minutes. And I remember just leaning down over Mama's Mom. Seemed like she was already in the presence of the Lord. Seemed like at that moment I thought she's talking to my dad and she sees him, you know. She wants to know where her mother is. But then it wasn't just a few minutes. Yeah, we just saw her move a little bit. And then she opened her eyes. Opened her eyes. And she said, "What are you all doing around here? So many of you, what are you doing here?" We said, "Mama, we just came to see you. We're just here with you today." And it wasn't long. Mama was talking. It was God. It wasn't us. It was God. And then they began to leave the room. We left the room, except me and my sister, I think, was there. And I was getting ready to just walk out. There was a big glass front there. And lo and behold, God was letting these doctors and nurses look direct in the room and see what was going on that morning. And so everybody had left, and I was getting ready to go out of the room. And as I went out the room, there was three men dressed in green. And they had this big board of a thing. And their mom's room was 108, fifth floor. They said, we have come to pick up a body here. And I said, "Well, there isn't a body here." They said, "This is room 108, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes, this is the report. We've got to come to pick up a body. There's someone dead in here." And I said, "No, that's my mother, and she's very much alive."
Amen.
And you know, they had to go in to check. And they didn't even check her. Mama was fine. Mama lived 2 years and 6 months later.
Amen.
Her. It's been the worst thing. When this happened to Jamie, all of a sudden I realized sitting in that waiting room, my mom is gone. I have him and my children, my grandchildren. God has given them to me to love and to care and treasure right now. And I'm just thankful that my eyes were open. I don't need to worry about who's gone. I'll see them when they. I just need to love on that man right there.
Amen. Ms. Teresa. Yes, praise the Lord. Amen. Now you'd be sitting there thinking, that's some crazy talk. What are they talking about? Nothing like having the peace of God living inside of you.
Yeah.
That He's got it under control.
Yes.
Even in the bad times, God has it under control. Praise His wonderful name this day. Amen. All right, Scott. I don't know how you follow that, but come on over.
That's what I was thinking. It's pretty boring stuff here, but it's God working in other areas of the country. But I want to follow up on that too, and I know that I have friends and family that are here right now that needed to hear that, and me included, is that God's powerful and He can work in our family members that we're concerned about and our friends that have been hurt, and God's our awesome healer, isn't it? So let's talk about our friends. You know that we can be friends in the Lord and never even met Him. Isn't that cool? So that's what let's talk about. You may have never met Joel and Beverly Shove. They're in Bay Baptist Church in New Zealand. I know I just talked about these guys about a month ago, but I wanted to follow up because they had a tragedy over there. They had a huge cyclone that just ripped up their whole life as they know it. So in a second here, we're going to show a video of a road. It's like, oh, here you go. Here's the main road where they used to travel. It's now been closed. And he can go on it now because he's got a work permit. There was a damaged bridge right there. It is wiped up. So this is how they drive if they got a work permit. So imagine if... Here we go again. Oh, okay. Here's a little bit more of it. That's all right. So imagine that being, let's say... It was a normal, the drive that he's on there would be a 90-minute drive. So I just think of, like, for us, like, if we had to go to Asheville, you know, about, you know, 60 to 90-minute drive, depending on what part of Asheville, and then it just, the road was gone, and it would now take 6 hours to get to Asheville. That's basically what they're facing in New Zealand right now. And then what they have, their neighboring town, which was normally like a 35-minute drive, is now bumper to bumper, like 5 miles an hour to get there. And so they're facing some tough times in New Zealand, so we want to pray for them. But that's where these guys are coming in at Bay Baptist Church. The Shofs are really coming in. They showed a picture. I wish we could have had it, but it was so small you couldn't even see it. But one of their neighbors that they're able to help, their main car was just mangled. You could barely tell it was a car. And then their second car, all that was showing was this much of it out of the top of the mud. And so there's some major devastation there. But through that, they're praying that they can spread the gospel through helping their neighbors. So pray for that. And then their school that they've been ministering to the teenagers in, it was open within a few days. So that's good. So right in town, the roads were fine. But a lot of these little country roads that were with bridges, they're just gone, as you saw. And so we'll pray for them that way. And they're able to go in with the teenagers. They've had this ministry called Food for Thought. They go in with their youth ministers and just with the teenagers there. And they're trying to reach the youth right in the high schools. And so they're able to do that on Friday afternoons. And then Friday evenings is when they have their youth group. So they're asking for prayer that more and more kids would want to come, hear the gospel, and come to youth group. And then they're also really burdened about going, what the Bible says, going and making disciples. So they're having additional discipling groups at their church that they want prayer for. And so this is our heart of our church. Let's disciple one another. Let's learn the Word of God. And let's encourage the youth to be saved and learn the Word of God as well. So that's what I really appreciate about them. They kind of have the same mission we do. So let's pray for ourselves and pray for them right alongside of us that we would grow in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So
let's pray. Lord, we thank you for them ministering to those that have been devastated by the cyclone Gabriel, and pray they be able to keep helping and spread the gospel just by being the hands and feet of Jesus. And we pray for their food for thought teenage ministry that would grow mightily, so that more and more youth would be saved and grow in the Lord. We pray for their disciple groups called D groups, they call them. We pray for their groups there. They're adding more and more, so more adults could be helped in the Lord, so they could help the youth as well. We pray that for our church as well, and for Bay Baptist Church in Napier, New Zealand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Scott. You know, come on, we'll check up our offering. I want to give you a little update of how we do missions here. I know there's been some question about how we support missions. Here at Victory Baptist Church, our missions committee recommends missionaries that we support, and then we have our regular tithes, and then we have what's called faith promise missions. So in other words, we don't send our money to an organization and then they pay the missionaries. What we do is our body of Christ here, we have our regular tithes, and then we have what's called faith promise. In other words, we're trusting God to give us an additional amount of money to support the missionaries. So all the money that we have coming in designated for missions supports the Shope family and all the other missionaries that we support. And you can see all the missionaries in the back there on that wall. Those are all the missions that we support as a church here. Now, I'll be speaking more and more in the next coming weeks about faith promise and how that works. But understand, when you give your tithes and offerings, that goes just simply the tithes. If you designate for missions, all the money that comes in for missions goes to support our missionaries from our church that we support. So I'll explain more of that as it comes on. But that's what it means. Missions and the faith promise comes from that. Okay? Brother Dale, would you please pray for the offering now?
Lord, we'll come to you today. We ask you to bless this offering. We'll give back a little of what you've given so much. And we thank you, Lord, that we can assemble ourselves together to uplift your name. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us a church. Back Victory, the finger of your church, the body of Christ, Lord, and we just thank you for this day that you give. Thank you for the pious rest and best.
Amen. good to see you this morning. Open your Bibles up if you would to John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. If you guys would go ahead and put up that slide for me, I appreciate it very much. John chapter 20. What now? After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples had 40 days of being in God's presence. Jesus had come down to earth. He had been born to die, lived for 33 years on this earth. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. And then for 40 days, He spoke to the disciples. He spoke to the people. He appeared to them. We see in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talking about Jesus Christ and how He saw over 500 people at one time. And He taught and He did all those things. But I want to talk about what happened the day after His resurrection. I want to talk about what the disciples did. And the question they said is, what now? We celebrated Resurrection Sunday last Sunday. We had a good time. Everybody was dressed up. Most people had their dresses on and their suits. And this place was packed out with people who come just on Easter sometimes. And that's okay. I'm glad they came. And I'm glad that you came. But my question is, what do you do now that we just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do we just go back to everyday life? Do we just go back to the mundane things? Do we just go back to life as usual? Or should there be something different about our lives? Now, the disciples we see here in chapter 20, we see that the disciples have a lot of questions. If you read the Gospels, you see that the disciples didn't understand everything that Jesus said to them. It says many times in the book of John and other Gospels, it says, that at that moment they didn't comprehend what was going on, but later on they did. And he says, John says in the very last chapter of his book, he says this, he says, all the things that Jesus did, the books could not be contained in this world. So a lot of things that Jesus taught and Jesus did were not able to be comprehended fully, but eventually they were. And so we pick up the story here in John chapter number 20. And we're going to start at verse number 19. John chapter 20, verse number 19. And it says, then the same day, the day that Jesus was resurrected, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. What now? The disciples were scared. They were going to be hunted down by the Jewish authorities. They were very sure of it. They knew that the Roman government was looking for them. And so they were hiding. They were behind locked doors because they didn't know what to do. They knew that Jesus had died. They had heard rumors that he came back to life. They hadn't seen him yet. But they had been told by several different people that Jesus indeed was alive. So why were they cowering behind closed doors? Why were they unsure of what to do? May I submit to you, we at the same time can do the same things. Some of us are cowering because we're afraid of what the future holds. Some of us don't have peace. Some of us know what the Bible says. Some of us know that Jesus Christ indeed rose, but we don't know the next step to take. We don't know what to do. So I want us this morning to look at three different things that Jesus spoke to the disciples here and how we can apply them to our lives. Look at the first thing, number one. It says, verse number 19, He stood in the midst and He said unto them, Peace be unto you. And then in verse 21, He said, Peace be unto you. So the first slide there for me, the very first thing He said to them, Peace be unto you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ did not come to give us confusion. Jesus Christ did not come to give us unsurety. Jesus Christ did not come to give us fear and be affrighted. Jesus Christ came to bring peace to us. Let me ask you a question. Is there peace in your life this morning? And you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I got children. I don't have peace. Or Brother Brian, I'm married. I don't got peace. Or Brother Brian, I'm in debt. I don't have peace. Or Brother Brian, I've got health issues. I don't have peace. That's not the peace that Jesus was referring to. That peace that He is referring to His disciples, is He said, listen, I said I was going to die for you. I said that I was going to be buried. But He said, I also said I was going to come back to life. The greatest peace that I can share with you this morning is this. Jesus Christ is alive. When Jesus appeared into that room, look what it says there in verse number 20. He says, and when He had so said, peace be unto you, He showed them His hands and His side. And then something unusual. Then were His disciples glad. Now they weren't glad about the wounds. I'm sure that those wounds that Jesus showed them, they were probably pretty grisly. He had the places where the nails went in. They were still there. He showed them His side where they had poked the spear up in there. And when the disciples saw it, I'm sure they weren't going, wow, that is neat. That's not why they were glad. They weren't glad because He showed them the wounds. They were glad because He was alive, like He said. Brothers and sisters, are you glad that Jesus Christ is alive?
Yes.
That's where the peace comes from. The peace that passes all understanding. Because Jesus Christ lives, we also live when we trust Him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Peace comes from knowing Jesus. Knowing that you're forgiven. Knowing that no matter what happens, you have eternal life. Knowing that God has got you in the palm of His hand. No matter what you do and what you don't do, peace comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is trying to get them to understand. He says, fellas, later on, fellas, you're going to die. He says, you're going to have persecution. And He's been telling them all this time, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have people hate you because they hate me. He says, but listen, that doesn't matter. When you have me, you have everything. May I tell you, brothers and sisters, when you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you have nothing. He says, peace, peace be unto you. Peace. Do you need that peace this morning? Did you have a rough week? Did you have some ups and downs? Did you have some doubts? Did you mess up? May I tell you that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our peace. You can go to Him. God, I've messed up. God, this is going on. This family member's doing that. Oh God, I'm sick or whatever. You can come to Him and say, oh God, help me. And He can bring that peace that passes all understanding. This wasn't just for the disciples who were there. It's for disciples today. today. So the very first thing he tells them is peace. So what now? After he resurrected, what now? Number one, Jesus Christ came to bring us peace. His resurrection gives us peace. Look at number two, verse number 21. He says, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Not only can you have peace from Jesus Christ, number two, you have the commission. He has saved you, and he's given you peace. Now, it doesn't say, all right, you sit down on your hands. He doesn't say, all right, here's a pina colada. Non-alcoholic, of course. He doesn't say, okay, go find yourself a nice, peaceful place to lay down and do nothing. That's not what he says. He says, now that you've got my presence, now that you've got forgiveness through me, now go and tell others about that. Brothers and sisters, if we were meant to just simply have peace and no problems when we got saved, he'd have taken us out of here when we got saved. He'd have said, okay, good. You trusted me as your Savior? Come on home. So why did he leave us here? Why in the world are we, as believers in Jesus Christ, still on earth? You know why? So that we can be the salt and the light in this world. He is sending us. He is commissioning us. He is ordaining us. He is directing us. We are to be his hands and feet.
That's right.
He's not telling us all to go and preach using the Bible and give a 5-point outline. He doesn't call all of us to do that. But he does call us to share the good news. He does tell us to love one another. He does tell us to walk alongside one another. He does tell us to do those things. He didn't say, okay, fellas, I'm bringing you peace so that you kind of just huddle here now and not let the world affect you. He says, no, I'm bringing you this peace so that you can now go and do something. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are glad that somebody else obeyed and told you about Jesus Christ? I'm glad somebody answered that call. I'm glad that somebody said, yes, Lord, I'll go. I'm glad somebody did that. I'm glad the disciples didn't stay holed up in that room. I'm glad they went forth. They didn't understand everything. They didn't have all knowledge of everything. But they did know that Jesus Christ was alive. And they did know that Jesus Christ was sending them. That's what they needed. May I tell you, you don't have to know this book forwards and backwards. But if you know the author of this book, he'll teach you and help you. That's what small groups are about. Sunday school classes. That's what Bible studies are about. Not just here, but anywhere. Studying the Bible together. That's what it's about. Not just showing up on a Sunday morning and checking the block. Alright? So he says, number one, I'm going to bring you peace. Number two, he says, I'm sending you. Look at the third thing. Look at the third thing. He says this. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Now what does that mean? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. Now picture this. They're in a room, a small room, I'm sure. They're huddled together and they're scared to death. All of a sudden Jesus shows up. He shows them his hands and he shows them his side. And he says, I'm bringing you peace. And I want you to go. And they're thinking in their minds, okay, you want us to go, but how? Then he, I believe he literally breathed on them. I believe that he actually blew on them. That's what it says. Why is that so important? Because it says that the Holy Spirit breathed into men the words to write these things. He breathed on them, he says this, receive the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you, do you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you right now? I'm going to ask you a question, and you be honest with yourself. Is the Holy Ghost in you? I'm not sure, Brother Ryan. I don't know. I don't feel like getting up and dancing right now. I don't feel like speaking, and that's got nothing to do with it. The Holy Ghost comes upon you when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you'll never lose the Holy Spirit. Now, you can quench the Holy Spirit. You can live a life that doesn't bring honor to God, and you quench His influence on your life, but you can never lose the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, receive now the Holy Spirit. So why is that so important? Why is it so important that the disciples at that moment received the Holy Spirit? You ready for a deep theological reason? You ready? Write this down. Here it is. Here's the reason that Jesus Christ gave them the Holy Spirit. You ready? Because He knew they couldn't do anything without Him.
That's right.
May I tell you, I cannot preach, I cannot teach, I cannot be a husband, I cannot be a father, I cannot be a man of God without the Holy Spirit leading in my life and His power. I cannot do it. I can do it in the flesh and I'll fail. I've got to have the Holy Spirit leading me. May I tell you, you need that Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, guess what? You got it. You got the power to do it. You got the power to be a parent. Woo! Sometimes you need the Holy Spirit power as a parent. Amen? Sometimes you need the Holy Spirit power to be a spouse, to be a grandparent, to be a sister or a brother. You need that Holy Spirit. Oh, help the Lord. You ever said that to me? You need that. But guess what? It's not just for the help to do something. It's the help to live every single day. God doesn't just want to come alongside you and help you when things are difficult. He wants to walk with you when things are going good. He wants to walk with you on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. He doesn't say, just trust the Holy Spirit when things are hard. He says, no, walk with the Holy Spirit when things are good. Brothers and sisters, the peace of Jesus Christ was the disciples. He said, now I want you to go where I want you to serve me. But He said, number three, I'll give you the power to do those things. Now don't raise your hand, so let me ask you a question. Consider this. Whose power are you living under today? Whose power are you staying married under? Whose power are you staying as a parent or going to school or working? Well, Brother Brian, I get up every Monday morning and I... Well, fantastic. Who gave you that power? Brothers and sisters, we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit a whole lot more than we do. I believe He's here right now. Because you know how I know? Because I'm here right now. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, He's here. Is He here?
Yes.
Yes. He's the third part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the preacher. The Holy Spirit. Three in one. Three God.
The Holy Spirit. Number four. Not only did He give them peace, not only did He send them, not only did He say, I'll empower you to do what I've called you to do, He then gives them message to send. Look at verse 23. He says, I want you to tell people this. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, some people like to take that and say, oh, okay, so if the disciples say that they're forgiven, they're forgiven. But if the disciples say that they're not forgiven, then they're not forgiven. That's not what it means. Who can forgive sins only? Who's the only one that can forgive sins? We're in church. You can say his name. What's his name? God. He's the only one that can forgive sins. So what is he telling the disciples to do? Is he telling them to go out and pronounce and sprinkle holy water and forgive people their sins? Absolutely not. Here's what he's telling them. You now go and tell people they can be forgiven. You tell people that salvation has come to them. You tell people that they don't have to be condemned anymore. You tell people that the forgiveness of their sins has arrived. But you also warn them that if they don't repent of their sins, that if they don't turn to me, Jesus said, there is no forgiveness of their sins. That's what he's telling them to tell people. He's not telling them five different ways to improve their family life. That's important. That's not the message they were to carry. Their message was this: you need forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and if you don't have Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness. So what is the message that he has for us today? What does Jesus Christ want us to know because he's alive? Number one, I'll give you peace. Number two, I want you to go and tell others about this peace. Number three, I'll empower you to tell others about this peace. And then number four, you tell others that there's only forgiveness through Jesus Christ. What now? So what do I do, Brother Brian? Number one, pray for peace. God, I want to live in that peace. Number two, God, send me. Put me in places that I can deliver and tell people about this peace. Number three, oh God, I want to live in your power. I want to have your power all over me. I want to be totally controlled by you, God. And then number four, tell people that their sins can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. Now, is everything going to go perfect from here? Absolutely not. You know what? I'm probably going to mess up today. How many of you think you're going to mess up today? Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Sunshine. There's forgiveness for our sins. And we don't have to do this alone. That's why he gave them, the disciples, each other. He didn't look at Peter and say, okay, Peter, you do this all by yourself. He didn't look at John and say, okay, John, you're on your own. He says, tell others together. We belong to each other. Patty, I'm so glad to see you. You belong to us. Brother Danny, God kept you alive because you belong to us. You belong to each other. Don't walk this life by yourself. There is no accident with God. Live this life from the power of the Holy Spirit, walking one with another. Amen. Now the disciples, most of them died brutal deaths. But you know what? They did what God told them to do. And they had the peace to do what God told them to do. Do you have that peace this morning? Are you going to answer the call? Are you going to rely upon His power? And are you going to deliver the message that He has told you to do this morning? Let's stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. A simple invitation this morning. Number one, if you don't have that peace, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today you can have that peace. You simply do this. Oh God, I know I'm a sinner. And oh God, I need Jesus Christ to save me. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior today. I need that peace. That's why Jesus came, to give His peace with God. Number two, you say, Brother Brian, I have that peace. I know Jesus is my Savior, but I'm not doing so well on answering the call. Why don't you ask Him to help you answer that call? Number three, God, I want to be full of the Holy Spirit today. I want to be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that You want me to be, with the Holy Spirit's power. And then number four, it's time to tell others that there's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So won't you answer that call today? There is no perfection except through Jesus. Trust Him today. Walk with Him. And walk with others. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know the needs. First and foremost, I pray for the precious soul that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray, God, right now that You'd speak to them. You would draw them to You. Because nobody can trust You except You draw them. And so I'm asking You right now that You would draw them to You. And they respond to that call. Number two, I'm asking You, God, that You would bring that peace to the fellow believers in this room. They would answer that call. They would answer that call. And we would live under Your power to live for You. Even in the hard days, that we would trust You in all those things. Thank You, God. We praise You and we thank You in Christ's name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Shirley's playing. I'm going to invite you to come this morning. You have a need? Come. Salvation. Surrender for baptism this morning. Maybe you want to surrender and join the church this morning. Maybe you just want to come pray for somebody. I invite you to come. I invite you to come this morning. Won't you come this morning?